So we're live. Welcome back to the Magic Minds podcast. I'm Matt Bourke. You're watching and listening to the Liberty's number one podcast. Yup, the Liberty's. Yup, the Flats. On the show today, I'm joined by Ramon Horka. I've had to be in practice and doing that. I'm fucking proud of myself. Ramon, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for that. Appreciate it. Thank you.
We're in a different location today. We are in Ramon's home in Black Rock. Before we get going, I just want to say it's quite apt that I'm here. This designer, Aoife Hanrahan, she passed away last week. She's left her body, left this universe. And I just want to send her loads of love and kindness wherever she is in the universe. I'm sending her love and kindness. Stencilize was our brand, was our company. And I was absolutely terribly sad to hear she passed on the other day. So I want to send loads of love, and it's apt that I'm in Black Rock. So why am I here? Because the universe has brought me to this absolute space cadet. I went on a Galactics Ireland tour guide stargazing, and I met Ramon. And that's why I've asked him on the podcast. I was blown away by his passion for what he does. If you had asked me a year ago, would I be standing in Wicklow at the foot of a mountain, fucking looking up at the stars, avoiding the sea? I said, no fucking chance. But Ramon got me there. So we'll get into that in a minute. How's life?
All good, brother. Yeah. All good, yeah. Thanks for the nice intro there.
How's your day? I got the name right eventually.
my day was great, man. Yeah. I was up early. I trained here this morning. Did a bit of exercise. Made myself a nice smoothie. Was up nice and early. Went into town. Went to the Hugh Lane Gallery. Went to see Andy Warhol's art. Because, you know, you see all that iconic Andy Warhol stuff. You know, the Campbell's Soup and the Marilyn Monroe. And I've never seen it in the flesh.
Was Andy Warhol a DJ as well?
He was involved in the music scene, he was very much a visual artist.
Right,
Nico and the Velvet Underground and all that was all like Andy Warhol and the Factory in New York and all. You should look it up, but it was great to see all of his art.
And where was that on?
In the Hugh Lane Gallery, right, near Parnell Square, earlier on today.
Deadly.
So got real inspired.
Deadly.
So then I was just smooshing around town, then came home. Yeah. And here I am.
Yeah, like as I said, I met Ramon the other night at his tour doing the stargazing. And again, I had no interest in looking into this till I started doing work with Tommy Ellis, and he says, start looking up. I've always been looking down. He's like, just look the fuck up, look up, look up. And I went and I done the tour guide, and I was blown away.
Was it Tommy that put you onto it?
Tommy said it to me when I started working with Tommy. First of all, he says to me, if you get some time, look up, look at the sky, look up. Mm-hmm. I was like, wow.
And did he mention us then, or did you just find us then?
No, he did. He mentioned you. He says, if you ever thinking of doing a tour, go with Galactics Ireland. And I looked you up straight away.
Perfect.
And then we went on it. So look, tell us about the birth of Galactic Ireland. Give us a little bit on that.
So I was always into the pyramids. My mum travelled to Egypt a lot when I was a kid because she studied Arabic. So she went to Egypt a few times. So she used to bring back replicas of ancient Egyptian plates. And she'd bring back pyramids, and she'd bring back little mini busts of Nefertiti's head and, you know, all the gods. And I loved it, it was fascinating as a kid. So I always had this kind of connection to kind of the ancient world, because my mum took me traveling a lot when I was a kid as well. So she took me loads of cool places when I was a kid, like West Africa and East Africa, and I went to mad places. So growing up, always in the back of my mind, I always had that Egypt thing going on. Then I started getting into, you know, Graham Hancock. Then later on, my mum started showing me some of the fingerprints of the gods.
Please excuse my ignorance. Graham Hancock
is basically like a modern day Indiana Jones.
What?
Dude, I can't believe I have to put you on to this.
Oh, fucking tell me. This is the shit I love. I didn't know this. Now I do. And I'm drinking herbal tea, by the way. What's this tea?
This is rose hip tea.
Rose hip tea. You wouldn't get this in the flats. What the fucking rose hip tea? You're getting on, Barry.
Don't worry, I like pints and coffee and all that as well. I just thought for tonight.
This is deadly.
This is just a nice calm and soothing drink.
Yeah.
So we can just chill out together.
I love it. So tell me about this Indiana Jones book.
So Graham Hancock wrote a very famous book called Fingerprints of the Gods. And it's basically putting up the case that we are a species with amnesia. And we've forgotten our past after the asteroid hit the planet. And when the asteroid hit the planet, that's what caused the last ice age. So before that, there was a magnificent civilization that, like Atlantis, and we were well advanced, and then we got taken out, and then the survivors of that cataclysm started again. And more research is coming out now that he's could very well be right.
Oh,
and he was
this.
Talking about the building of the pyramids as well. They say it was built by slaves. It wasn't built by slaves, because some of the stuff that they did back then we can't replicate today with lasers and the equipment that we have. We can't recreate how they built the pyramids of Egypt, right? The Great Pyramid is made of 2.3 million stones, right? When they put the capstone, the last capstone on the top of the Great Pyramid of Giza, right? It was made of gold. When they put the last capstone on the, it's a 13 acre square with 2.5 million stones. When they put the last capstone on the top, it was a quarter of an inch off the center of a 13 acre square. You have to divide 13 acres by a quarter, no, what was it? 2.5 million stones by a quarter of an inch to get that kind of accuracy. We can't even do that today.
What?
Yeah, yeah.
Then how did they do it?
This is the mystery.
Have you not solved it?
No, we have. No one solved it.
Did Indiana not solve it?
No, even he can't figure it out.
Do you think it's mystical?
I think it's a lost technology or a lost knowledge, lost wisdom.
Lost knowledge.
It's lost knowledge, is what I believe. People always say aliens, but maybe there was help, but it's because it faces exactly in the cardinal directions to a T, right? It faces all the cardinal directions to a T. So
okay.
It faces true north. More north. It's more true north than the Greenwich Observatory in London. It's more accurate than that. That's how accurate it is at pointing. It's basically a scale model of the Earth. I'm going to send you loads of stuff about this, right? It's fascinating. Same with the Mayan pyramids as well in Teotihuacan and all that kind of stuff. This is a whole other rabbit hole. When you jump down this, then when you realise that they were mapping it all with the stars, and then you start mapping those two together, then it's like, oh my god, okay.
What the fuck?
They
do you lie in bed awake at night thinking about
this? I'm used
shit?
To this. So I lie in bed, yeah, but like when I wake up in the morning, I wake up and I imagine where I am in the Milky Way.
Right.
I just I say, I'm waking up and I'm here on the galactic arm.
Yeah.
Where, remember when I was showing you the other night with the galactic arm? Remember we pointed the binoculars into it?
Galactic arm. I didn't know there was a galactic arm. Right,
there's three or four galactic arms.
This is what happened. You contacted me, said that there's a tour on. Mm-hmm. I've been trying to get on, but it didn't happen. And I said, right, I'm going to go, because I surrendered to life. And I was inside. I was like, no, I don't really want to be going to looking at stars tonight. I said, no, you're going.
Mm-hmm.
We're going.
We're going.
So I went and I got the map to go, and it brought me up this little dark road and all. I was like, yeah, fucking having a laugh. This is like something out of Deliverance. I'm going to be killed and murdered here. Right. Anyway, I reversed back and landed back at the spot where it's meant to be. And you came along with your pal and Seb. And I just looked up and I went, holy fuck. This is incredible.
Yeah, the majesty of it.
It was like I was in a dome just looking up at the beautifulness of it, the expansion.
You just don't see it in the city.
The
right?
awe, the what?
You just don't see it in the city.
You don't see it in the flats. You just don't see that. It was magnificent.
Mm.
It was breathtaking.
It is breathtaking. It really is. Yeah, when you see it for the first time like that, you're just like, holy shit, okay, that's a lot.
Yeah,
going on there.
Like looking through the binoculars probably doesn't do it even justice.
Mm.
Just the awe of just
the
looking.
Awe, yeah. The awe of it.
And then when you start explaining.
Then I start talking. That was another thing about the pyramids, right? Because they figured out, Robert Bovall, his theory was that the three pyramids of Giza are lined up to the three Bell Stars of Orion. Exactly. Even the third one's slightly off. Same with the Bell Stars of Orion, which is Al-Nalam and Mintaka. They're the three. Orion's Belt, there, the three stars and the three pyramids are lined up close, same as the ones in Teotihuacan in Mexico. They're also lined up in the exact same way, right? So when I was looking up at the stars all the time, just with my eyeballs, I had a real connection with the universe and the power of law of attraction and manifesting. And I'd always look up at the stars, always.
Right.
If I was somewhere dark or if I was going through a hard time, I'd always look up at the stars and go, look, if that's real up there and I can manifest what I want, I need a change. Or, do you know what I mean? Like when I was a heavy drug head for like 10 years, man. From 1997 to 2005, 2006. Did a lot of drugs. Needed a change. Asked the universe one night. I vividly remember walking back from the Harbour Bar in Bray, walking along Bray Sea from going down onto the beach. It was pitch dark. I looked up and I saw a black sky with all the stars. And I was just like, do you know what? I want to change. Don't want to do this anymore. I just want to change. And I met my wife 4 weeks later.
Wow. Wow.
And then she got pregnant.
Wow.
There's your change.
That's incredible, isn't it?
There's your change.
And you're like, that's
right, time to step up now.
Yeah.
Sink or swim.
Deadly, you know?
So then I was a gift. It was a bolt from blue. Like, wouldn't change a thing. Like,
yeah.
And now we're still together. It was two lovely kids. We've got a lovely house. And it's brilliant. And actually, it was her then, 5 years ago. We were at a friend's house. Here's the story of Galactic now.
Yeah.
We were up at a friend's house up in Carrick Mines. And they're near the mountains. They're near the foot of Dublin Mountains, near this mountain tower, yeah. Right? Near the Puck's Castle. And this was just around end of November, near Christmas. And I had a little pair of binoculars on the windowsill of the kitchen. And I picked them up and I was looking out at the mountains. And I could see like deer running around and trees. And I was like, this is so cool. Why did we not have a pair of binoculars? Like, this is awesome. My wife was watching me, she tweaked it, right? She was like,
she's smart.
There's his Christmas present, right? So Christmas rolls around.
Yeah.
I open up the Christmas present on Christmas morning. It's the exact same binoculars, the Olympus DP4s 8x40, right? And I was like, lovely. Give her a big hug. Thanks a million for that. Brilliant. Deadly. I've always wanted a pair of binoculars. Now I have a pair. Fucking sweet. Stephen's day. Clear outside. Moon. I was like, I can look at the moon with these. I didn't even think of that. Right? Went outside, right? Out that door, right there, literally right there. Walked outside the door, put it up to the moon, and I just went, holy shit. Holy shit. I can see like craters. Oh man, this is amazing. And then I went, oh man, the Pleiades star system, when I showed you the other night, because I knew all about the Pleiades from the ancients. And I was like, cause I always saw the fuzzy patch in the sky, but I'd never seen it, never magnified it.
Yeah.
I literally went like that. I was straight away, so, oh my God. It was like, I remembered like, a thousand lifetimes.
I remembered.
When the minute it only took a second. The minute I saw the beauty and the blue and stuff and all the detail, I was just like, oh my God. I just remembered like an ocean of time that I have been traveling and becoming and reincarnating.
Wow.
And coming back. And it was like, do you remember? I was like, How did I forget? Now I was out there like having a fucking experience, just shaking, going, oh my God.
That's a mystical experience.
I was hooked. I was instantly hooked. And the minute I saw Orion's belt, I was like, oh, Orion's belt, I have to look at this. I have to look at those bell stars. And I looked at the bell stars and I was just like, oh my fucking God. And I scanned down even more and suddenly this white light with looked like a white cloud with like a flashlight coming out of it with stars around it, right?
Yeah.
I was looking at the front of the binoculars going like, is there something wrong with these fucking things? What the fuck is that? And I ran in here. My wife was cooking. She remembered. Everyone remembers this. I grabbed and said, come here right now. You have to see this. And I said, pointed at Orion's belt. She goes, oh, so you like the binoculars? And I was like, shh, just pointed at Orion's belt. And she pointed at Orion's belt. She was like, oh my God. I was like, no. Scan down. Just a little bit down. And she went down and she went, oh my, what the hell is that? I was like, well, I have no idea what that is. So I grabbed my phone. I was like, big white cloud with stars around it below Orion's belt, ? And it said, you're looking at the Great Orion Nebula. And I was like,
we looked at that the other night, wasn't
it? No, we didn't, because Orion had to come up later. As winter goes on, he'll start rising earlier and earlier. I'm gonna get you up to see this. So I said, what's a nebula? And it's like, a nebula is a giant star cloud, star nursery, like 8 light years high, 6 light years wide in the constellation of Orion. It's where our sun was born. I nearly passed out. I was like, I can't believe I'm looking at creation from my back garden. On the phone to the lads, like, that's I know you're not going to believe this, but you're not going to believe what I'm looking at. And they're all mad into space, mad into aliens, mad into
Oh, are they?
Mad for it. And I was like, I'm in it. I'm in the stars. I'm in them. Like, they're like, what is he talking about?
Come here. Well, your mate's always into it.
They're always
same,
into it.
They're the same mate you always had growing up.
Well, two of them who are still very good pals of mine, and they're like me and you. They're on the same path. They get it. Like,
right.
I would spend all night out there. I didn't leave. I was out there for hours.
Right.
I downloaded an app onto my phone to tell me what I was looking at. I learned the sky. Like, in a few days, I'd learned. That, remember, did you show? I wasn't even using an app the other night. That's all in my head.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
sky is in my head. Like,
I was blown away.
Yeah, it's just
like
in my head.
You were talking, you talk, and then as soon as we get into that, you light up.
Mm.
You light up, because I was looking at the stars today, and I said it to you, and I said it out loud as I was thinking. I was more impressed with your oozing of love and passion for you. Fucking love this shit.
Well, I think we all have to love it, man.
People find that thing.
Yeah.
Like, I'm all about finding your thing.
Mm.
Like, me and you are doing the same thing, but we're using just
different tools,
different vehicles.
Mm.
Like, I'm like, it was same with Allah, Buddha, Jesus, Brahman, Atman. They're all going the same place, but just using different buses.
We're all heading towards the same ocean, just different rivers.
Yeah. So, look, yeah. All that stuff you talked about there, take us back. Tell us some of the stuff you told me the other night. And enlighten the people on what you're
about. What now?
Your tours, what, like, what's up there? How many light years? Like, I didn't know about Jupiter. I've heard them back in geography class or back in science class years ago.
So the Jupiter, yeah, and Saturn. Where we started off with the laptop, remember?
Yeah.
That was the intro where I show you what the Milky Way looks like.
Yeah.
And I show you, like, the arms of the Milky Way, and you are in the Milky Way. Like, the Milky Way is just a big frisbee. Right, with arms coming off it, like wagon wheel arms, and in each of those arms, there's like, it's basically like, it looks like a hurricane.
Yeah.
Right, looks like a hurricane.
Yeah, it looks like.
And within those arms, there's star forming regions and plenty of other solar systems like ours. Because remember, our sun is just another star. Like all the other dots up in the sky are all other suns, right?
Yeah.
So our sun is one of 500 billion other suns.
That's
in the Milky Way.
Mind-blowing.
I know, and there's like 12 planets in our one. So, and then we were talking about how far is a light year.
Mm.
You know, when you hear light years, so one light year is how far light travels in one year. So that's 5.88 trillion miles is how far light travels in one year. And the nearest star system to us is Proxima Centauri, which is 3.2 light years away. Which is pretty close in the galactic scheme of things. Like, that's fibs, bro. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's pretty close, like.
Yeah.
But at light speed, it's going to take us, like, over 3,000 years to get there. Like,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I remember it's 500 billion. Now it's 500 billion other suns in the Milky Way, approximately. Like, so how many solar systems are out there? And our sun is a middle-aged star, and it's not a big one. It's a small star. Remember I've shown you the star sizes? There's other stars out there that are, like, 1,000 times the size of ours.
Really?
Yeah, they're massive.
So then that would, as you said, you're like, that would mean that the civilization on other.
It's just mathematical probability, isn't it? I mean, it kind of makes logical
sense.
What
does that make logic?
Do you know what I mean? It makes logical sense.
Logic for me.
Well, like, if we're doing what we're doing around this tiny little star, and we're the only habitable planet out of 500 billion, and our sun is not even a big sun, and there's bigger suns out there that are more powerful, that have more energy. How much more life can something like that sustain?
Right.
It's the way I think about it. Now,
yeah.
I might be completely wrong there, but that's just the way my logic works. Is if our tiny star can have these many planets, and at least one of them with a few heads knocking around.
What about
one that is the size of a big massive one? Like our sun is the size of your earring. There's another sun out there that's the size of that.
Yeah. We're looking at big huge light here.
So
that's incredible, isn't it? Like,
it's
when you think about it,
mm.
like how small we are in comparison to others,
yeah.
That has to be
yeah.
other kind of.
And also
if there's
a civilization out there that have the technology that they can travel interstellar space, like, how far ahead are they evolution wise than us? Because if they're coming from somewhere so far away, they're kind of coming from the past. So if an advanced civilization is coming from the past to the future to us, but we're not evolved like they are, it's kind of a weird oxymoronic kind of,
yeah,
like, hang on, you're coming from the past but you're more advanced than me. What? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Kind of like saying, if the Egyptians just showed up now, or the Mayans just showed up now, would they look at us and go, you primitive fuckers? Like,
yeah.
Or would they be so advanced? Because remember, the Mayans just, nobody really knows what happened to them.
Right.
Nobody really knows. They believe they just descended.
Who were the Mayans?
The Mayans.
What? Who are they?
The Aztecs and the Mayans. They were an ancient civilization in Mexico, and they were like highly advanced. Damn, man, I'm telling you, I've so much. There's so much I have to show.
You were into shit.
Yeah.
So the Mayans, these were just a race, or
yeah, they're like the Egyptians, and they built all the pyramids, and they had all the same kind of cultural kind of like sensibilities of. You know, they did a lot of blood rituals and blood sacrifices. Ever heard of Cortez?
No.
Oh, man.
No.
Cortez and his 200 guys that went in and pretty much took on a whole army. And there's only two or 300 of them. And they came in and they destroyed an entire civilization because they were pacifists. They didn't know how to fight. So they just came in and fucking slaughtered everybody.
Like, wow. That's mad, isn't it?
It's mad.
And you started getting into the Galactic Orlin 5 years ago. How did it all kick off you?
The business, or
how did you come up with
because
your
because what happened was that night, right, the night I was out there,
yeah.
I came into my laptop then, I was like, right, like, I love these binoculars, but like, I want something, I'm into this now.
Yeah,
I'm into it.
You go into
when
this,
I get
you?
It, I'm, yeah, I, yeah, yeah. I like when I get into the weeds and get my hands dirty. So I went onto the forums and they were talking about you know, I went onto the Cloudy Nights stargazing forums and what are the best binoculars to get in like the 300 or 400 euro range, you know, and these Helios Apollos kept coming up. So yeah, they were called the Helios Apollos. Actually, I should have brought them. I have them inside. Will I run and get them, or will I not bother? Anyway. They said that these are the best ones in that price range, and they've got proper glass, and the lenses are bigger, and do you know what I mean? They're just super high, and not the glass. What in the 8x40s wasn't great; it was really, really good. But then once you start spending more money, you're paying for glass. Is what you're paying for, like light transmission and contrast and light quality. They're just basically big light buckets that take in a lot of light. So the bigger the bucket, and the better the glass, and the more light that can pick up, the more you're gonna see. Because remember, all that light is coming in from the galaxy.
Yeah.
So saved up. All the while I was still outside every night. Any night it was clear, I was out there with binoculars, just learning the sky and just having me mind blown. So about a month later, and all the time ringing up the lads going like, you're not going to come over. I have to show you this. You don't understand. You don't understand what I'm trying to tell you. Like, wait till you see it with your own eyes. Like, wait till you see it. You're not going to believe it. Like, they're like, oh yeah. We'll come over on Wednesday. It's like, well, I don't know if it's going to be clear on Wednesday.
Which, you know, so it has, I mean, to be clear for you to see it.
It has to be clear, like, do you know what, I mean? So anyway, ordered these binoculars, Helios Apollos, from a place called First Light Optics in the UK. And they said you can get this tripod because they're heavy and you need something to balance to hold them so that you get steady views so that they're planted.
So I
got this trigger grip tripod where you pull the trigger and you can put it wherever you want, then you let go and it stays on it, right? Absolutely deadly. Big heavy duty oak, got one of those as well, right? So I was fucking licking me lips. This thing arrives one day and it happened to be clear that night as well. So I was straight out there, straight onto the grass outside. I put it up again and looked at the Orion. First thing I looked at was the Orion Nebula. This time I saw the green and blue and white, and I could see a pylon then with loads of stars. I was just like on the phone again, lads. You're not gonna believe what I'm looking at. Like, you're just not gonna believe it. Looked up Pleiades, the whole thing was roaring with blue light, and I was just blown away, right? I was just like, okay, I'm hooked. That's it. This is like a lifetime thing for me. Like, I saw the future. A few days later, my mate Al, who's like us, he finally came over, right? I gave him like 10 mushrooms. I waited for him to kick in, and then he goes, right, go on then, show me. And I put it on the Orion Nebula, right? And he goes up and he puts his eye up to the eyepiece and he looks, he didn't say anything, and he just goes, I get it. Oh my god, that is the most amazing thing I've ever seen. That's incredible. So I told him, he was like, I just didn't understand what you meant. He goes, I can't believe that's there. He goes, what else is there? I was like, oh, show you this, I'll show you that. He was just like hooked.
It's another world.
He's on the phone, lads. You're not going to believe what I'm looking at over here. Then everyone else started coming over then. Then we started doing little stargazing tours in the back garden then, right? So I started having people over. And then I started going into the forums again then, saying, what's the best way to get get better views. I just didn't even cop it. Yeah. I said, if you can find somewhere away from the city, and straight away I was like, oh, of course, scope the fucking Sugarloaf. Yeah. I was like, that's, I didn't even think of that.
Right.
Packed it into the car, straight up to the Sugarloaf, Claire and I took it out, put it on the iron heavy light again. It went up fucking 50 levels. I was seeing like dust clouds, and I was just like, holy shit. Like, you could see everything. I could see like the Pleiades, like even more detail, more stars. It just means that you can just see deeper because there's no light pollution.
Yeah.
I was just blown away.
I never even knew about light pollution. One of the lads, and which was great about this tour, by the way, you were fantastic, your passion was fantastic, but the people that were on it was just lovely. Like this guy that was into it, he was sharing his experience with me, his knowledge, and he was telling me about light pollution in Dublin. It's quite high when you come out to the like of Wicklow and the Sugarloaf. It's lower, not as low, and then you go to the likes of Kerry.
Yeah.
There's dark spots.
Yeah, Kerry Dark Sky Reserve. We've been there loads of times. A friend of ours has a house there, right in the Dark Sky Reserve in Ballinskellig. We've been down there with the binoculars.
And like, as much as light is great out in the streets, blocks, we don't see that magic.
Mm.
Like, I remember as a kid looking up and seeing the stars, but then it just disappeared because I'm so busy with my head down because I've got stuff to do. Too busy. So that was the learning for me, just being able to look. So you went to the Sugarloaf and blew your mind.
Every time we went stargazing, it was always up to the Sugarloaf. And then I started going further into Wicklow. We started going down to Glenmalure then, where it's just black. And then we were just seeing even more. So like, it was just like amazing. And then I just loved bringing people out. And the reason why we were doing it is just to see people's reactions. I just got such a buzz out of just seeing people like lose their shit, like going, oh my god, like that was enough for me. Like, I was just like, this.
And you're gonna make a tour out of this.
Yeah, no, I wasn't even thinking about that. It was my business partner Jimmy that came up the other day. I had a load of people out one night, and I was doing a tour just with some friends, and Jimmy was just blowing. Oh, I have to tell you the story of what happened with Jimmy. Right, anyway, Jimmy was with us, and Jimmy was like, man, you're so fucking good at this. He's like, I think this would be a great business. The minute he said it, I saw the way it would set up. I saw it straight away. I was like, how did I not see that?
Yeah.
I saw exactly how I wanted to set it up, and how, like, it was instant. I saw the whole thing. Just the minute he said it, saw the whole thing. It was an instant. I didn't even have to sit and think about it. I knew exactly how it would go. So we started doing, we got a couple more sets of binoculars, then we got the big ones.
Yeah.
So Jimmy invested a bit of money, and I've paid him back. But he said, look, we'll get a couple of these.
Yeah.
Right? And then when we got them and we set them up and looked at things again, it was just like, okay, now this is so on. Yeah, this is on like Donkey Kong. So we did a few unofficial ones to begin with. We got test audiences up with friends of friends, and we set out our set list and the music and the way the night would go. And
oh, the music was deadly, by the way.
Yeah, it makes it.
Because Joe Dispenza uses like that space music, or your meditation and space music.
It works.
And it sets it off, man. The receptors in the brain. My brain was like, just
so. And I knew the soundtrack that we were going to use, How to Disappear Completely, that was just going to be it. Like, so we started doing that, and we did a few test audiences, and we made sure we did the intro at the start and little astronomy things. So we just kind of got the set list together of how we were going to run it. And we did a few runs at it, and we got feedback from people. And then we were like, right, I mean, let's set up a Facebook page. I made the website. And said, let's go. Let's just start putting it out there. And then after about 4 months, Love in Dublin heard about us. James Fenton, who was a writer for them, and he came up and he reviewed us. Right, now I was shitting it. Like, I was absolutely shitting it. And it was cloudy when we got up there because the weather forecast changed. So I had to do a fucking song and dance and jigs reels and entertain everybody, like fucking spinning wheels and doing jokes and having the crack. You know what I mean? Finally, the moon just came up over the horizon, and I put it on the moon as it was coming up, and everyone was just like gasping, and then the clouds cleared, and then
hallelujah!
And I did the tour, and at the end of the night, James walked away, and he was just like, that was really good. That was really good. I'll write a review for you. That was really good. Thanks a lot, man. Really appreciate that, right? So I was like, oh, I don't know.
Come on, James. We wanted that. That was fantastic. Yeah, yeah.
And then the article came out a few days later, and it was like a 3-page spread, and we had all the photographs that we took in it. And he was just like mind blown, absolutely. And he was like, Ramon has a hint of the messer about him. We had such good night, he knows his shit.
Yeah.
After that went out, then the phone started ringing, you know, and then we started getting. So that's kind of what got the momentum going. But then this past 2 years has been really slow. We've done very few of them because of the weather.
Right.
I remember we would have 3 clear nights in a row most weeks on weekends when we started doing this. But then since after COVID, the weather's changed.
Wow.
We very rarely have clear nights now, man. Very rarely. It's weird. It's very weird.
What do you think that is?
Could be climate change. It could be. I have a few theories.
Go for it. I want to hear them. I fucking want to
really
hear
them. Really?
Yeah. It's fucking. Okay,
I think
hear
they're spraying shit in the fucking clouds.
I've heard that loads of times.
Yeah.
I've heard it loads, and I've also heard.
As in the spraying?
Yeah.
I think there's something going on.
And then there's
there,
also about orchestrating. If you're one of those people that. I don't know anything about the.
But orchestrating weather.
Yeah.
Weather manipulation.
Weather manipulation.
Yeah,
and then also,
do you
believe in the.
Do you know about
the climate change?
Do you know about HARP? Up in Alaska?
No.
The antenna array.
No.
It produces some of the most powerful energy on the planet. Ever heard Gerald Clark?
No.
Ever heard of Guns, Germs, and Steel?
Nope.
Oh, man.
Tell us about them.
No. That's a whole other rabbit hole that we'll go on. We'll get way off topic.
I don't give a fuck.
We'll go way off topic.
So
basically,
do you believe in climate change?
It's a really touchy subject. The sun is going through a heating cycle right now.
Yeah.
And I think, yes, the planet is heating up because the sun is going through it. It goes through heating cycles and it goes through cooling cycles, right? Yes, the weather is changing. I am not denying that. But I think the powers that be are piggybacking off the back of that to create a narrative to fucking control.
Mm.
That's what I think.
Yeah.
They get it and they're just creating a narrative around it. So that supports the narrative.
Of course.
Is what I think.
Yeah.
Yes, the weather's changing, but they've got a fear narrative attached to that.
Of course, those fear sells.
There you go. That's my theory.
Here's the theory.
So,
it's a little off topic, but basically, do you think to build a business, do you think to build anything in life, it must be built on love? Why do I say that? Like, you've just explained how you start a business. I just want to use you and then use this conversation as a way of inspiring people to remind them, because love is my thing.
Mm-hmm.
You built a successful business and you're very good at what you do, but that's built on love. Do you agree?
I 100% agree. Yeah, you can't.
So I was thinking about you today. Thinking about you, thinking about my dad, thinking about Tommy, thinking about myself. There's a bit of a commonality here.
Yeah,
it's built on love. Love what you do.
It's hard to invest in something that you don't love, right? Do you know what I mean?
Oh, I did it a few times.
Oh, so
did I.
That's why I'm saying it.
Yeah, like you don't get the return.
No,
you don't light up like you do when you talk about it.
Light up like my,
because I was telling my daughter about you today and she was like, does he sound like you that?
Yeah.
And when I look at other people, like I was on the thing with Tommy today in Satsang, right?
Yeah.
And this man was talking about stuff and he was talking about, I'm going to do this. And Tommy says, do you teach? He said, well, I was thinking about it. And he started talking about what he might teach.
Mm.
And I was like, I'm not buying this. As soon as he started mentioning the simplicity of life and leaves, he lit up. And Tommy went, teach that stuff there. And I went, yep, that's it.
Yeah.
He lit, like you lit, like you don't know, you light up. That's what love does, right?
Oh,
what do you think?
No, I actually 100% agree with you. Yeah, you got, like, and I'm passionate about loads of things as well, like, do you know what I mean? But I think, you have to love something. I think it comes out in passion, right? It comes out. It's obvious. It's obvious that there's a love there. But I to be honest with you, when we were up there on Friday night, I felt like I was just channeling.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? I was just a spokesperson of the universe. I was just a conduit for like the universe, and it was just like it was just coming through me. I was just like blah 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 blah. You know,
none of that was premeditated.
No, not at all. It was just like coming out.
I was telling my dad today, my man, I was telling him to come interview. I was coming to interview him. Yeah. I said, man. He was taking pictures and he was running behind us with a fucking camera and he was doing picture art or something. I said, I don't know why he was fucking up there, but he was just doing shit. I was like, this is great.
I was just doing shit.
Yeah.
It's like a pixie in the night.
Yeah. Fucking taking pictures and then looking at it, I was like, what the fuck? That's incredible.
Yeah.
Like some of the pictures you took were spectacular.
Yeah, it's beautiful, man. It's beautiful.
But none of that was orchestrated as in, or premeditated.
Mm.
You just done it like, off love,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think everything has to start with love, right? It's the it's the ultimate antidote to everything in the world, isn't it? Like,
if you really want to find your source, if you really want, this is what I'm meant to be doing, it must be predicated from love. There must be love. Now, you might have to go through a few shit shows to get there. You can't, not everyone's going to wake up and know what to do. There's two, there's an analogy in life. Some are woodpeckers and just know what they want to do and blah, 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 and they go for it. Other people are like hummingbirds. That they jump onto this flower and they do something for a while, but basically they're going to just go around loving things.
Yeah.
Some people, that's their path. But you might have to go through a shit show. But it has to be predicated on love, doesn't it?
Then absolutely. That's beautifully said, man. Yeah, absolutely. 100% agree with that.
You said you like other stuff. Tell us what you like to do. UFOs. Can we talk about UFOs? Come on, let's talk about UFOs. Oh, yeah, nothing about UFOs.
Remember that thing we saw the other night, man? With the line of things that just... do you remember?
Yeah.
We saw... what we thought, I thought it was the Starlink thing from Elon Musk with the satellites.
Yeah.
And they were coming up on the horizon. There was a big line of them. And Dara was even saying he saw it. He counted 13.
Oh, he was seeing.
But remember, they came up, but then they didn't. They didn't pass. They just disappeared.
Yeah, what was that?
I have no idea. They just literally came up. Yeah, they just came up and then they just disappeared. Because I thought they were going to, I thought they were coming from way off in the distance and they were going to pass over. It's the same way the space station does, where it just passes over, but they didn't. They just disappeared.
Wow.
Yeah, and I have no idea. I have no explanation for that. Remember, I took a picture of it. So I remember I got that big streak. Yeah. So I don't know. I have no idea.
That picture didn't even catch it. Like, it caught it, but it didn't catch the beauty of it.
But there's been a lot about UFOs in the news now of late, right? Yeah. Now that's where my spidey senses start to tingle, right? Because I'm just like, okay, well, they obviously want us to look at this. Because if the mainstream narrative is telling us UFOs, then it's not UFOs. So I'm not going to tell us the truth.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Right,
they're telling us there's UFOs, then there's no UFOs.
Ah, fuck. I was hoping there was UFOs.
I think there's an element, there's always a grain of truth in the lie, and there's always a grain of lie in the truth. Right? There's always
That's a great show.
It's absolutely true, but false. Right?
Yeah.
Because you know, we have to be in a position where we don't know what to think. That's where your love and your intuition comes in. You have to be able to discern what's real and what isn't. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's the hard part. You have to just trust your gut, like, right? It's like anything. You have to trust your gut.
It's very hard for people to trust their gut if their first, second, and third endocrine system, fear, lack, not good enough, is for them. So trust me, gut. Well, but if you're flooded with hormones of stress, it's going to be very hard for you to trust your gut.
Yeah.
So they can sell and manipulate people and have things work if they elicit fear, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Because it's a vibration, and they just keep just throwing it out.
We've seen that with the COVID situation. Oh. People were like Shitsville, Arizona, and they just need shit themselves. And that was all predicated on fear. That was the biggest
fear pitch of all time.
You can control people. You can control people if you have them afraid, and you can control people if you use separation, because the big fear in humans is we feel separate away from, and we've seen it with the mask, and we've seen it with the can't see your granny, can't see your uncle, fear. So do you think that maybe is something to do with the UFOs? Is that the fear of people? Do you think it's a...
Have you ever heard of Project Bluebeam?
No. What's that?
So Project Bluebeam it's still an idea kind of an underground idea that came from the CIA and whoever else back in the 80s, maybe even before then, where they will use a fake alien invasion to try to control the population. So there'll be a fake alien, holographic fake alien invasion, and they'll come in and they'll say today, going, right, we know how to sort this out, we're going to kill the aliens, but you know, you have to do what we do if you want us, like, you know what I mean, now that we've saved the day, but now we have to do it by our new rules.
Vaccine.
Yeah, probably, or something.
I have no idea.
But anyway, Project Bluebeam is basically a fake alien invasion, like, because we've had war, we've had a pandemic. The only thing we haven't had now is an alien invasion. It's literally the only thing they haven't even pulled that. So that's why when you watch movies like Independence Day, it's all just pre-programming is what it is. Do you know what I mean? It's just pre-programming, getting people ready for it. So I think that the narrative about the aliens out in the mainstream was a little just plant a seed.
Right.
Just plant the seed, because I think the technology they've seen the sphere in Las Vegas, the thing that UT were playing in.
Oh, yeah. That's incredible.
man, I'll tell you, the technology that they have now, like literally, if they could put an alien, they could put a massive spaceship out there now, and you would not know the difference whether it was real or not. We'd block it out the sun. Like, they can do that.
Wow.
And this thing about this HARP. Now, sorry, I don't mean to be like freaking everybody out here, but you need to be aware about it. But HARP is a giant antenna array, huge mileage, big, huge square of miles of antennas, really powerful. And what they can do is they can literally change the weather with this thing.
Yeah.
Or they can literally surround a country with a cone and put a thought into a country. Say you want to start a revolution. Anything like that. That's what I'm looking at Israel now, right? This is why I'm looking at, remember the earthquake and the flood that happened in Japan in 2011? All that stuff. Like, it's crazy. They can just set off an earthquake right underneath the water and go, right, we want to flatten that country out. Just set off a tectonic plate, send a wave across. Maui, there's another one with the fires.
Wow.
When I see all this shit happening, I'm just like, oh man, it's HARP. I know it is. It's crazy, man.
But you look years ago.
Crazy, and no one's talking about it. No one talks about Maui now, right?
But your mom was never on the moon. No one was ever on the moon.
There's a few theories.
Didn't your man what's his name?
He's even said it.
He said it wasn't on the moon. Like, what's the hardest part? Some kid asked some question, what's the hardest thing about being on? And he was like, it wasn't there. It never happened. It was all like a...
Well, that's the... It's hard to know.
He says that
I know. I know he says he wasn't. It was a pretty elaborate, hoax, I have to say.
So was he or wasn't he? Not that you know, but what's your theory on this? I was like, he was on it, and now all of a sudden he was on it. I'm like, what the fuck?
I don't know, man. When you look at the moon at 25 times magnification, it doesn't look real. It's crazy, man, how detailed. It just looks like a flat disc. It doesn't look like it's got... Actually, when there's a termination line on the corner, then you can start to see a bit of curvature on it. The moon's fascinating, man. It's a fascinating thing. I don't know if it's a hologram or if it's real. I have no idea. We're going way out here now.
isn't this fascinating?
It's going way out here now. So I don't know. I don't know about the moon. I'm a little bit like, because it does affect us. Like, it does affect our emotions. It does affect the tides. So there's something to it.
Yeah, just don't know if your man was on it or not.
Don't know if the man was on it or not. No idea. Yeah. And apparently the Japanese landed on the dark side of the moon, and they showed a video of them landing on the dark side of the moon. They showed a quick shot, but then nothing was said ever since.
I heard some theory about like they done it, the Americans, just for one up on the Russians or something.
Yeah.
Something about this, but who knows. But the Japanese said they were there as well.
Yeah, and have you heard of the Anunnaki of Nibiru?
No, of course I didn't.
Right.
Of course I fucking didn't. I didn't even know about Jupiter.
Right.
I didn't know about Saturn.
The oldest writings on the planet are the Sumerian tablets, right?
Right.
It's the oldest writing in the world, the Rosetta Stones, right? And they came from Mesopotamia, and on those tablets, it talks about man's creation. And basically, it's the story of the Anunnaki, who were reptilian giant beings, half man, half reptilian. I think they might have just been giants, I don't know. But they were certainly alien beings, giants, like 10 foot tall. And they had a planet called Nibiru, which is in an elliptical orbit around our sun. All right? Stay with me now.
This is deadly. I'm fascinated
right?
by all this.
So there was Enki and Enlil, who were two brothers. And they were the kings there, right? They fell out. They had a wrestling match. He tried to usurp Enki. And Enlil got excommunicated, right? And they kicked him off the planet. And he went off in this spaceship. Now, their atmosphere was dying. This is millions of years ago now. Their atmosphere was dying. So they needed something to reionize their atmosphere so that they wouldn't die, all right? And also, they were starting... And they lived... for hundreds of thousands of years, right? Because their orbit around the sun was bigger. That's another theory, by the way. The larger your orbit is around the sun, the longer you live, and the closer you get, the shorter you live, because your orbits are smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller.
Wow.
Yeah. So further out, you live longer. Closer in, you live shorter, right? Because So they sent him off, and he went off, and he said he's going to go out. In order to get back in good graces with the powers that be on Nibiru, he said he was going to go off and find a planet that had gold on it, because gold is a great radiation shield, and that's great for ionizing atmospheres, is
right.
gold.
Gotcha,
and they were running low on gold, because they mined it all. he found this planet. The first mines on this planet are in South Africa.
Right.
Right? So he didn't find the mines first, but he went and landed in modern day Iraq right now, right? And he brought some miners with him called the Igigi, I-G-I-G-I, yeah. Right? And they came and they were looking around, looking for gold, and they found some, and they found some in South Africa, down South Africa as well. So he sent some emissaries back to Nibiru to get back in good graces with the gods back there and tell them that they found gold and they could mine it, bring it back to Nibiru and ionize their atmosphere.
Yeah.
Right? This is all the tablets, like, this is all like left, but this is like thousands and thousands and thousands of years old. Like, this is like way ahead. Right? So they started building the first cities on this planet. Yeah? So the first cities on this planet were in Mesopotamia, so in modern day Iraq, so Sippar, Uruk, Nineveh, they're like the first cities on this planet. That's like the cradle of civilization. Yeah. Then they started reproducing here, and they started bringing more and more beings and more people here, and more and more miners. And they were mining, their Igigi were mining and mining and mining, and they were becoming really, really tired, and they were being overworked. And there was a rebellion within the camp against the Anunnaki. And the guy who started the rebellion, guess what his name was? Allah. Right?
No.
He was the one that started the rebellion against Enlil. Yeah? Saying that we're overworked. We're not doing any more of this shit. Like, we want to go back to our planet. And also, they started to age faster while they were here. Why? Because the orbit. So they were aging slower, or aging faster and faster and faster and faster, whereas back in the Nibiru, they were living for thousands of years. So they couldn't leave here because they had become used to the gravity on this planet. So they couldn't leave. They had to stay here because they had already climatized the gravity here, and they would die if they went back home. So Enlil went fucking nuts. He was like, I can't believe this is happening to me. I'm trying to fucking get back in good graces, do things for everyone back home, and now I'm fucking stuck here. Yeah. So they started building all the cities, and when the first flood came, the flood was a real thing, man. Noah was the name of the king of Sharupak when the flood came. The king was called Noah. He was the one that got the myth of Noah getting all the animals on, getting two of everything. Like, all this shit happened. That was the comet hitting the planet. You know, when the comet hit the North American ice cap. And completely fucking leveled the whole planet, and
wow.
The whole planet went into nuclear winter, and only a few people survived that.
Wow.
You know, this is what Graham Hancock goes into now when he's talking about how at the end of the last ice age, you know, all the stuff that happened and all the stuff that happened before, and they're starting to find proof of all that stuff now.
That's fascinating.
It's fascinating.
Stuff,
man. Yeah. So that's the whole alien thing, right? About the Anunnaki and their influence on. Basically, we were like this. The theory is that we were seeded by them. We weren't created. Like, we weren't. It wasn't organic the way we came here. Were we seeded, or were we organically? Did we organically evolve? Did we evolve, or were we seeded?
Bum, bum, bum.
Yeah. So the whole Anunnaki thing throws all that into kind of question. Then, you know, it's fascinating stuff. So that's when you start looking into all the ancient alien stuff. Then, do you know what I mean?
Where did you pick up this information? Just read? Did you read? Is that?
I went through a really, really bad depression in 2015.
Okay.
Never forget it. Just one day I woke up, I think it was like March or something, one day I woke up and I just started feeling a bit down. But then as the weeks went on, it just got worse and worse and worse, and I just couldn't figure out what the hell was going on. And
sure.
I, you know what I mean? I wasn't talking to people, and I wouldn't leave my room, and I wasn't great with the kids and my wife, and you couldn't get to me. It was basically my kind of dark night of the soul. It's like 2014, 2015, so yeah, seven or eight years ago. And it just got really heavy. And I remember we went down to stay with some friends in Wexford. It was summertime at the stage now, and it just wouldn't go away. You know, that feeling in your stomach and in your throat, and lack of energy, and you feel like you're gonna cry at any minute. Didn't know what, everything would be fucking wrecking your head. So we went down, and we stayed with friends down there, and I stayed up on my own one night down there. Same thing again. Got off my face, was drinking on my own, smoking joints, and fucking doing whatever.
Yeah.
And I went out in the middle of the night and walked down to the sea in the pitch dark, and I lay on a jetty, where they have little boats coming out. I just lay down there and I looked up at the sky and it was just black and I could see all the stars. And I said, I did the exact same thing again. I said, I don't want to feel like this anymore. I don't want to feel like this anymore. Just help me. Whatever
help
it is,
me.
Just
help me.
Help me. If you're there and if this is real, just make this stop. Because I don't want to feel like this anymore. What the fuck's going on?
Yeah, gotcha.
And then I went back to the house and I started listening to the new Radiohead album. I love Radiohead. And there's this song from their last album called Dexterk, right? And the opening line of it is, and into your life there comes a darkness and there's spacecraft blocking out the sky. And there is nowhere to hide. You run to the back and you cover your ears, but it's the loudest sound you ever heard. And that just stuck with me. But with the music as well, I was just like, God, that just stuck with me. And I couldn't stop listening to that song for weeks after. Just that song, it was almost making me cry. Just the lyrics.
What was the significance
of
that?
I have no idea. But this is how all this came to me. Spacecraft blocking out the sky. Spacecraft. Why does it mean so much
why
to me?
Does that resonate
why is
with
that
you?
Resonating with
yeah.
me? I just couldn't get around it. Like,
yeah,
and I was like,
yeah,
right, aliens. Okay, so spacecraft in the sky, like ancient aliens. Oh, I've heard of that show. Typed in ancient aliens into YouTube, and a whole fucking yoke about ancient aliens came up,
okay.
and then Gerald Clark's lecture.
Okay.
About the Anunnaki of Nibiru came up, a four-parter, 4 hours.
Yeah,
and it goes into our chakra systems and spirituality and harp and the conspiracy and the matrix and the everything.
Right.
And this just, it lit me up.
I'm following you.
It lit me up. Right, then I was
the
like...
The light went off. Okay,
and I was like,
light.
Oh, okay, so this is just not what I think it is at all.
No, it's not.
This is just not... So
no.
Basically, it was just like a massive... awakening.
Yeah.
Huge awakening. I was just it lifted me out of that black place, right? Lifted, because I just got so into research then. I had a focus.
Mission.
I had a purpose and a mission, because I was like,
up.
I get it.
Yeah.
I so understand this now. And I was lit up, and that's where I found Graham Hancock, and I found all the ancient alien stuff and Gerald Clark and the Anunnaki of Nibiru, and learning about harp and learning about fucking the chakras and spirituality. I started microdosing, do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and then I did a few big journeys
there
on that sofa, man. Right there on that sofa in the dark with the music on, eyes closed, and just went to the place.
Your eyes, shut your fuck up.
Yeah, went to the place and let my guides talk to me and tell me what I needed to do and why all this, and you need to go and talk to your parents and confront them about everything that happened when you were a kid. You need to make the peace with them, and
all that stuff happened. Bring
that
it
was
up
a
to
big,
clean, bring
it
up
was
to
a
clean.
Big, it was a big, it was a big cleansing period. Still going, do you know what I mean? But that was just taking the plug out that few years there from 2015 to 2018, 2019 was a real growth period. Like,
delicious.
Yeah, it was heavy, but really good.
Yeah.
You know, and then you had the stargaze. Then you had the stargazing on top of that. After all, like, it was kind of like, it was all this big line of stuff.
They're all linked.
It's all linked, man.
It's all linked.
I can literally
together.
Look back,
in the
rearview mirror and just see the line, see the thread, just going, holy shit!
Success leaves crumbs.
Yeah, man.
It's
exactly.
Steve Jobs says, isn't it?
You
can join the dots by looking back. Okay,
yeah.
If you don't drive.
No, he's
in the
right.
Rearview mirror. But we look back, and I'm following your story from the Toronto Press go here, and seeing it all, the love, the light.
Yeah.
The darkness, and you find the light.
I think the darkness is so important, though.
The moon.
Yeah.
The moon is the light.
The moon
is
the light.
Love
is
the light.
Love
the sun
light.
Is fucking.
I always say you have to go into the darkness to find the light, though. For me, anyway, I have
you
to.
Can't appreciate. You
can't appreciate
it. You can't tell what it is.
No. You can't tell what it is unless you know what the other thing is.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. And they're both the same. They're the same coin.
Two sides of the same coin.
Yeah, you know, and it's
yeah.
incredible. And you appreciate it.
You appreciate it a lot more. Yeah, like I like my solitude. Like, you know, and I like to light that fire sometimes and just sit by the fire and just like turn the phone off, like do a little microdose of mushroom and just like
this
not a heavy one and just sit here and just be like and just think about.
You
like,
feel the love in this graph.
That's a lot. It is.
You just feel it. Just it's very tangible.
Yeah.
Are you into astronomy? Do you or
astrology?
Astrology.
Love that shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know that the cosmos, like the Sagittarius and Virgo, you were saying them, and I was like, was he fucking reading these stars or something?
No, but here? Jupiter and like all of these planets that are out there, you're in this massive centrifugal system. Like, it's electromagnetic. So, everything, are you telling me that if that table is our planet, no, if that table is. Yeah, if that table is our planet, right, and there's these massive things going around that table, and we're on that table, so you tell me that everything out there that's on that table doesn't do that. Of course it does. So like that's what we're living in. We're living in this giant centrifugal system with those planets. Like I think the first time a friend of mine, he's an astrophotographer, but he said he looked through a massive telescope and saw the transit of Jupiter and Mercury coming across the telescope. And he said it was the first time where he truly appreciated the terror of seeing something so massive moving past something so small. And then you get it, and you're like, oh my God, it's fucking massive.
I was like, I was looking up going,
massive.
This is gigantic. Yeah,
it's
gigantic.
So think about the energy that's been produced in this solar system. And you're telling me that that doesn't affect us? Of course it does. So I always check my astrology like every day almost. I'm gonna get Rachel to do one for you.
I don't read when I'm due to have her on the podcast.
Yeah, get her on, man. Get her on.
It was like fantastic.
Yeah, because
I would have said I'm Virgo, like we're talking in September.
Are you Virgo then?
But there's a lot of people meet a lot of my Libra.
Yeah.
What's
your date of your birth? Like,
toward the 1976.
Yeah, because my wife is only 4 days after, so you are a Virgo. Like.
Yeah, Virgo, but there's a lot of the way.
Yeah, you've a rising sign. You could be a Libra rising or something.
Libra
like that.
Rising, a lot of people meet the Libra side of me, and then when they get to know me, they go, "Fuck me, you're deep, man."
Yeah,
because I'm out there.
Yeah.
But then when you meet them, you're like, "Fum, fucking."
Yeah.
Pearl diving deep.
You're an extra introvert.
Oh, I'm fucking, I go deep, and my daughter just looking at me and talking to me about the stars.
My kids are the same. They're just like, you're getting too spiritual almost.
But it's great, though. And you love the astrology too?
It's all connected. The whole thing is all connected.
It's not just in the Star newspaper.
No, but it's all.
Do you think they get it right? Is this stuff? Is that just.
Oh, I don't even look in the newspapers. I look at like proper astrologers, like, you know what I mean? I'm not saying like
I have
the people I follow, you know what I mean, who I trust, because they usually make the right calls. Years of digging through the shit to find the good stuff.
Yeah.
So I have my people that I follow who are like solid.
Yeah, it's like anything, like you want to go stargazing with certain people.
You want to be with people you trust, do you know what I mean? You want to be with people you trust,
and they're driven, as we said, we're driven by the love.
But the astrology is 100% real. Absolutely. Like I said, don't think that what's happening out there doesn't affect what happens on here. Of course it does, you know?
Yeah, I met Tommy, no interest in looking up the stars, no interest in astrology, because I know a girl, Lorna, she's a pal of mine, and she does it. And I was like, oh, they do that stuff over there, just not my buzz, not really into it. But I think it was probably the enormity of it. Like, that's so much. When we start studying science and all that, and the atoms and the periodic table, you know, eventually it's not too bad, you get it. This is bigger and bigger and bigger. And it's like, I'm just not into that shit. But now that I've got into it, I've done a reading with Tommy's girlfriend, and now sitting with you doing the stars, it's fascinating.
Yeah, now the dots are connected, right? Oh man, that should be our tagline. Galactic Ireland, we connect the dots. No, but it absolutely is, man, because actually if you check what's in store and find out on a monthly basis, like, so you'll look up Virgo. I'll send you a few people to follow, right? And every month
you'll be sending me some crazy
I'll be sending
shit.
You some, yeah, send, but then it'll, because you've got certain houses, you've got 12 houses, and you'll find out what planets are doing what in what house, right, for the month. and
literally, it's like Game of Thrones, is it?
But then watch those houses light up in your life.
What do you mean the houses?
So like house two is like money, work, finances.
Oh,
money.
Okay.
If
okay,
say
okay.
Jupiter goes in there, your second house for this month, that means Jupiter's expansion and luck. So it'll expand your income, your work, your all that stuff,
right,
and you can literally see it manifest in your life.
Really?
That's where I was sold. That's what I was like, okay, this is actually working. I'm actually seeing this shit happening.
You can thank me later for this, by the way. You can thank me later for this.
So I think that's why it's important to know your star sign, know your birthday, but then just get a broad strokes overview of what houses the planets are moving every month, so that you know what areas to focus on.
Right.
See what I mean?
Right.
That's
right.
It's a roadmap. Astrology is a roadmap for the month, and it gives you a heads up as to where the energies are most concentrated, and that's where you should focus.
Right.
Yeah, I know, that's it. You use it. You use it as a fucking tool. Like,
yeah.
It might go into your fifth house, which is all like, you know, siblings and money and or fame. And do you know what I mean? Like, you'll be able to see like where it's all going. Like, you know? So you go, right, this month, Jupiter's going into my ex, whatever house. They go, right.
And did you study this in college, or is this self-directed learning?
Self-directed learning. And also just watching astrologers all the time.
Right. I know Rachel, but she's done degrees in it.
Yeah, she's done degrees in it. No, I just know broad strokes astrology. Do you know what I mean? But I know enough to get a gist of where...
You know enough to get an appreciation of it.
And I've watched enough astrology videos over the past 10 years.
Of course you have.
Like, I know the language. I know how it works. Like, it's like, I told you there's loads, man.
It's a deadly conversation. So look, for anyone that wants to link in with you, work with you, where do they find you?
Find us at Galactic_Ireland on Instagram. And also you can check us out on GalacticIreland.com if you want it. That's for the stargazing now.
Mm.
And then, like, I'm also a PT.
Yeah, that's
I do a lot of fitness. Like, I'm a PT during the day. So that's my day job.
So if you want to build your wallet, or you want to get 22-inch arms, you want to get 28-inch waist.
28-inch waist.
He's got it all. Look at the stars, 22-inch arms.
Trainer to the stars.
Trainer to the stars. Fucking no stopping this, dude. Oh, man. Roman, you're a fucking hell of a dude, man.
I appreciate you,
brother.
You too, man. Thanks a million for having me on. So you've got to learn about like the stars. You've got to learn about like Graham Hancock. You've got to learn about the pyramids. You've got to learn about the markets.
This is why I get into this podcast, so I could sit down and not knowing things, and then
and
people
then
like you come along
and, yeah, just
and
like,
open the door to Pandora's box. And
yeah,
it's just
lucky you.
You get
loads of different.
Are we so lucky to be bouncing around on this planet, this cosmos, this fucking
universe?
Remember
what we were saying the other night about people were like, when we were looking up at the stars, and everyone was like, well, you feel so insignificant. But I was like, actually, I feel more significant that we're up to what we're up to.
Yeah, that was a great show. On our little
rock here, like, look at what we're up to. Like, this is significant to me.
This is significant.
You know?
This is deadly. So I'm blessed to have you. I'm blessed to have this podcast. I'm blessed to all the kindness and love that I get through this work. None of this work that I do would be without the help and service of my pal Niall Riley from Rooney Media Graphic. He's my mate, he keeps me on track, he keeps me centered. He is my point that says, don't be going running out here, stick to this. And he's deadly all the producing for the backdrop and the show art is all to Rooney Graphics. So if you need any graphic designer help, Rooney Media Graphics is your man. As always, Lisa and Sandra from Shannon's Hope Line, Liberty Soup Run. And thanks so much for all the love and kindness that I get. I really appreciate it. If you would like to help and support this podcast, I do have a Patreon page. If you want to afford me the price of a coffee or a curly whirly bar, do. If you don't, all my work, all my content on social media, wherever you find me, it's all $3.99. So knock yourself out with that. I mean it from the bottom of my heart. Don't forget to mind your little self. I hope this podcast was as inspirational as it is for me. It's just people like Roman light me fucking up. I'm lit up by love. I'm lit up by passion. It may look like we're just talking about the stars and this, but what we're really doing is we're just shooting a load of love out here.
Yeah.
Just
sure.
Throwing love out on the table now. This is what love looks like. So you may not be into some of the stuff Roman talks about, what I'm into, but what you might be into is just inspired to find your love, to find your passion, to find what you want to do in the world.
Mm.
And he just does it through the galactics and the the money and the finance and the stuff like that.
And the fitness, the health. Hiking and nature and all that kind of stuff.
Ramon brings himself, which is embodies love, to all of that. And he inspires true love. And that's what this is all about. So thanks very much. Go mind your little self. Yup the flats. Share this with all your families and friends. And don't forget to check out this amazing deal.
Yo. Thanks a million, guys.
I will run, I will climb, I will soar. I'm undefeated, oh. Jumping out of my skin, pull the cord. Yeah, I believe it, oh. The past is everything we were. Don't make us who we are. So I'll dream until I make it real. And all I see is stars. It's not until you fall that you fly. When your dreams come alive, you're unstoppable. Take a shot, chase the sun, find the beautiful. We will go in the dark, turning dust to gold. And we'll dream.